Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. My name is Avram Goldar, and today we're in Masechet Erevin, Daf Lamed Aleph. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, in the Mishnah on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda said that a kohen may place his erev afil ben akvaros, even in a cemetery, because the kohen can make a partition between himself and the grave, and then go through the cemetery and eat his erev. After determining on our daf how exactly the kohen can access the erev without becoming tamei, the Gemara seeks to understand why the Rabbanim forbid using it. The Gemara explains that they hold asur liknos bayis biyisuri hana. They hold that it's prohibited to acquire a dwelling place with objects forbidden from benefit, and therefore he may not place his erev on a grave. Rashi explains that a grave and the implements of a corpse are forbidden for one's personal benefit, based on a gezeirah shavah which connects the passing of Miriam with the subject of the egel arufa. Just as one cannot derive hana from the decapitated calf, so too one can't derive hana from a corpse or its implements. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that one may make an erev with Maiser Rishon Shenitla Trumaso, Maiser Rishon, whose truma had been taken. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah is coming to teach that Maiser Rishon is permissible to use Sheikdimu Bishiboin, when the separation was done while the grain was still in the ears, before the owner was even obligated to separate truma for the Kohen. The owner therefore only needs to separate Maiser Rishon and Trumas Maiseris, but not Truma Gedola. The Gemara points out that the Mishnah's teaching is in accordance with Rabbi Avo, who said in the name of Reish Lakish, that Maiser Rishon Sheikdim Mishibolin Patim Truma Gedola. Maiser Rishon, which was taken off while the grain was still in the ears, is Patim from Truma Gedola, as it says in the Pasuk regarding Maiser Rishon, V'aremosim imenu Truma Hashem Maiser Mina Maiser, and you shall offer up from it Hashem's Truma, a tithe of the Miser. Miser mina Miser martilocha. I told you, referring to the Levi, to give the Kohen a tithe of the Miser, or Truma Gedola mina Miser, and not both Truma Gedola and Trumas Miser from the Levi's Miser Rishon. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one sends his Erev in the hands of a Katan, it's not a valid Erev, even if he deposits it in the proper place. The Gemara asks why a Katan cannot serve as a Shliach, since Rav Huna said, Katan goves a Erev. A child may collect the Erev food from members of the Chatzar for an Erev Chatzeros. So the Gemara answers that our Mishnah is dealing with an Erev Tchumim, whereas Rav Huna was discussing Erev Chatzeros. Rashi explains that the purpose of an Erev Tchumim is to acquire a Shabbos residence, and a minor lacks the power of acquisition, and therefore he can't serve as a Shliach. In the case of Erev Chatzeros, however, the child is merely gathering the Erev food into one place, and automatically the various dwellings merge into one place. So once again, the three topics are number one. In the Mishnah on Daf Chavav Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda said that a kohen may place an erev afil bein akvaros, even in a cemetery, because the kohen can make a partition between himself and the grave and then go through the cemetery and eat his erev. After determining on our daf how exactly the kohen can access the erev without becoming tamei, the Gemara seeks to understand why the Rabbanan forbid using it. The Gemara explains that they hold asur liknos bayis b'isur hanah. They hold it's prohibited to acquire a dwelling place with objects forbidden from hanah, and therefore he may not place his erev on a grave. Rashi explains that a grave and the implements of a corpse are forbidden for one's personal benefit, based on the gezeirah shavah which connects the passing of Miriam and the subject of the egel arufa. Just as one cannot derive hanah from the decapitated calf, so too one can't derive hana from a corpse or its implements. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that one may make an erev with Maiser Rishon Shenitla Trumaso, Maiser Rishon whose truma had been taken. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah is coming to teach that Maiser Rishon is permissible to use Sheikdimu Bishibon when the separation was done while the grain was still in the ears before the owner was even obligated to separate truma for the Kohen. The owner therefore only needs to separate Maiser Rishon and Truma's Maiser, but not Truma Gedola. The Gemara points out that the Mishnah's teaching is in accordance with Rabbi Avo, who said in the name of Reish Lakish, that Maiser Rishon Sheikdimu Shibalin Patim Metruma Gedola. Maiser Rishon, which was taken off while the grain was still in the ears, is Patim from Truma Gedola, as it says in the Pasuk regarding Maiser Rishon, V'herimosem imenu Truma Hashem Maiser Mina Maiser, and you shall offer up from it Hashem's Truma, a tithe of the Maiser. Maiser Mina Maiser, Martilcha. I told you, referring to the Levi, to give the kohen a tithe of the miser, below Truma Gedola mina miser, and not both Truma Gedola and Truma's miser from the Levi's miser Rishon. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one sends his erev in the hands of a katan, it's not a valid erev, even if he deposits it in the proper place. The Gemara asks why a katan cannot serve as a shaliach, since Rav Huna said, katan goyves ha'erev, a child may collect the erev food from members of the chatzer for an erev chatzeros. The Gemara answers that our mission is dealing with an erev tchumim, whereas Rav Huna was discussing an erev chatzeros. Rashi explains that the purpose of an erev tchumim is to acquire a Shabbos residence, and a minor lacks the power of acquisition, and therefore he can't serve as a shaliach. In the case of the erev chatzeros, however, the child is merely gathering the erev food into one place, and automatically the various dwellings merge into one place. All right, so now we go to our siman for Lamed Aleph, and the siman is a judge representing the law, Lamed Aleph, law, judge. So here goes. Judge Cohn was being carried in a box through the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave, when he noticed the Levi separating Maaser Rishon from standing grain for his Erev and giving it to a kid Shaliach. Once again, it's a motion. Judge Cohn, judge, that must be Ron Duff, Lamed Aleph, law, judge. Judge Cohn was being carried in a box to the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave, which reminds us of the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim whether a Cohn can make his Erev in a cemetery on a grave, and the Chachamim who hold that it's forbidden, since one's not permitted to acquire a dwelling place with the objects were Asr Bahana, and they hold the grave as Asr Bahana based on a Gezer Shava. So Judge Cohn was being carried in a box to the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave, when he noticed the Levi separating Maaser Rishon from standing grain for his Erev, which reminds that one can make an Erev with Maaser Rishon Shenito Trumaso, meaning from Maaser Rishon that a Levi separated from the standing grain before the owner was obligated to separate Truma for the Kohen. And we learn that the Levi only has to take Truma's Maaser from the Maaser Rishon, but not Truma Gedola. So Judge Cohn was being carried in a box through the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave, when he noticed the Levi separating Maaser Rishon from standing grain for his Erev and giving it to a kid shaliach, which reminds us that a child cannot be sent to place an Erev for an Erev Tchumim because it requires an act of acquisition of a place of residence which the child is too young to do, whereas he can collect the food for an Erev Chatzeros since gathering the food in one place causes the various dwellings to automatically merge into one place. So once again, Judge Cohn was being carried in a box to the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave when he noticed the Levi separating Maaser Rishon from standing grain for his Erev and giving it to a kid shaliach. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf Chav Zayin. So the Simra Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. Even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned. Kazoo? That must be Ron Daf Chav Zayin. So even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned, which reminds us, the opening mission of the third parak states, B'kol ma'arvim shtafin chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melch. We may make an Erev, meaning Erev Tchumim, or shitufu mavos, with any food except for water and salt. Rav Yochanan said, Ein l'midi mina klos. We cannot learn from general rules, afil b'makmish nemar b'chutz. Even when the rule concludes by saying, except, and specific exceptions are listed, it is not absolute. Rav Yochanan made his statement in reference to a Mishnah Kedushin that says, Kol mitzvah shazman grom anashim b'chayavim v'nashim b'turos. All time-bound positive mitzvahs men are obligated in and women are exempt. And mitzvahs which are not time-bound, both women and men are obligated in. This rule is not absolute, because women are indeed obligated in the mitzvahs of matzah, simcha, and hakel, even though their mitzvahs asay shezman grama, and they're exempt from Talmud Torah, Peruvu, and Pidyon HaBen, even though those mitzvahs are not time-bound. Similarly, our Mishnah, as pointed out later in the Gemara, does not mention that one may also not make an Erev with truffles or mushrooms. So even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned. So dejectedly, he went to the store and spent his Maaser Sheni money on salt water, which reminds the Mishnah also stated, Hakol nikach b'kesef Maaser chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melech. All types of food may be purchased with Maaser Sheni monies except for water and salt. In the Gemara, there's machlokes regarding if one can purchase a mixture of salt and water with Maaser Sheni money. One holds that one may buy salt water with Maaser Sheni. Rashi explains that since salt water is used as a dip for bread, it qualifies as a significant food. The other holds that salt water cannot be purchased with Maaser Sheni because pear be'inan, a fruit or something similar, must be purchased. The one who holds that salt water may be purchased with Maaser Sheni would certainly permit using salt water for an Erev. And the Ritva explains that Maaser Sheni would have greater restrictions since it's a deraisa and an Erev is a derabanan. So even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned. So dejectedly, he went to the store and spent his Maaser Sheni money on salt water, making sure they mixed some oil in. Which reminds the Gemara taught that Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that one can buy salt water with Maaser Sheni, only allowed that if there was oil mixed into it. The Gemara says that one can buy Maizu Sheni with oil alone. So what's the Chiddush that one may purchase Maizu Sheni with salt water mixed with oil? The Gemara answers that the Chiddush is the concept of Havlah, which means that one may pay more for the oil due to the value of the mixed in water and salt, even though the water and salt themselves do not become Maizu Sheni. The Gemara brings a braisa that teaches the source of this concept, that Ben Bagbag said that the extra word babakar in the pasuk regarding purchasing foods with Maizu Sheni teaches that we may purchase cattle and pay extra for its hides, even though the hides do not become Maizu Sheni. Daf Chavches. So the Simcha Chavches is a strong man. So here goes. The big strong man, that must mean we're on Daf Chavches. The big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maizu Sheni money. Which reminds us on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, two braisas learned from the pasuk of Maizu Sheni, utilizing klal prat uklal, which foods can be purchased with Maizu Sheni funds. One braisa concluded that the food must be prima priva gedulei karka, something that reproduces from its own seed and is nourished by the ground. The other braisa concluded that it must be vlad vlados haaretz, generated by something that was created from the ground. The Gemara asks what foods these two braisas were arguing about, and after rejecting a suggestion that was erroneously presented in the name of Abaya, Ravina answers that the machlokas is about birds. The first braisa includes birds because they're also nourished from the ground, whereas the second braisa excludes them because they were not created from the ground, but from the rakak, a place where there was both dry land and water. The Gemara goes on to explain how each braisa arrived at their conclusion based on the different way they understood how to apply the principle of klal prat uklal. So the big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maizu Sheni money by his erev made of coriander, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rav, Ma'arvin Begudanios, one may make an erev with coriander. The Gemara questions this based on a braisa that teaches that since coriander causes one to diminish a zera, it should not be eaten by those without children. And if the stalks became hard enough for the seeds to have ripened, then even those with many children should not eat it since it's harmful to one's health. How then could it be considered a significant food to be used as an erev if it had such a detrimental effect? The Gemara gives three answers. Number one, Rav only permitted them to be used for an erev for those who had children, and only when they were not hardened enough to harm them. Answer number two, even those that were not hardened were permitted to be used for an erev by those that did not have children, since they are suitable for those that do, similar to permitting wine to be used by Nazir for an erev, since wine is permitted to others. And answer number three, Rav only permitted Midian coriander, which is a harmless variety. So the big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maizu Sheni money by his erev made of coriander, right after his lesson from a young boy on the brachos for green grains and hops. Which reminds, Rabbi Zera had a discussion with the young boy outside the Beis HaMidrash regarding the brachos for kashus v'chaziz, hops and green grain. The boy said that his Rebbe taught him the bracha for hops was borei pri adama and the bracha for green grain was shehakol niyeh b'varo. Rabbi Zera said it was more logical that the bracha for green grain should be hadama, since it grows from the ground, whereas the hops should be shehakol, since it's nourished from the air. Rashi explains that hops do not sprout from the earth, but grow on prickly branches of shrubs. The Gemara concludes that the halacha is like the schoolboy and explains that since hops are a fully matured fruit, a borei pri adama is said, whereas green grains are not fully ripened, so a borei pri adama is not recited. Hops are also nourished from the ground, which is evident when they die after a shrub is cut down. Daf Chavtes. So the symbol Chavtes is a cot. So here goes. The indecisive erev maker put five peaches on his cot. Cot, that must be more on Daf Chavtes. The indecisive erev maker put five peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples, which reminds us that Rav Nachman ruled that the minimum amount of apples required for an erev is a cov, the amount sufficient for two meals. The Gemara challenges this ruling based on a ruling said in the name of Rav that five peaches is sufficient to make an erev. Since apples and peaches are both fruits, why does Rav Nachman require the larger amount of a cov for apples? The Gemara answers, Hani Cheshive, the peaches are significant food for the meal. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara later on Amud Beis, that for those foods which are eaten as part of the meal, the full equivalency of two meals is not required. Rather, only the amount of that food which would be eaten during the two meals need to be placed in the erev. Whereas Hani Lo Cheshive, the apples are not significant, and the larger amount is required. The Mefarshim mentioned the apples in Talmudic times were hard and not tasty. So the indecisive erev maker put five peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine four foods for two meals instead. Which reminds us, it's stated in the Mishnah mentioned earlier, "Ubamazon shtei su'udos erev," and all foods combine to equal the amount of food for two meals, which is the amount required to make an erev. Rav Yosef thought to say, "Ad de'eka sudamahai v'sudamahai," that different foods may be combined only if there's an amount sufficient from this food for one meal and one meal from this food, but that smaller amounts of three or more foods may not be combined. Rava said to him, afilo mechzel l'shish l'raviyah, even a half, third, or a quarter of a meal may come from each of the foods. The only condition is that the combined total equals the amount of two meals. So the indecisive Eruv maker put five peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Eruv, then changed his mind and chose to combine four foods for two meals instead, and include a little beer. Which reminds Rav Acha bar Rav Yosef thought to say before his father Rav Yosef that the amount of beer required to make an Eruv is two quarters of a cup or two lugin. This was based on a calculation made from Hilchos Shabbos regarding carrying, where the amount of beer one would be chayav for carrying is a quart of a kav, which is four times the amount of wine one would be chayav for carrying. So assuming the ratio of 4:1 is a standard, then if half a lug of wine is needed to make an Eruv, then two lugin of beer should be required. The Gemara says that this question does not apply, since the reason we need four times the amount of beer than wine for carrying is that we need something chashuv. Whereas with regards to an Eruv, we don't require an amount that is chashuv. We only require an amount that people would normally eat, which in the case of beer is less than two lugin. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is a Malamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe. Rebbe, that makes me more on Daf Lamed. The Rebbe fed his class mizonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them. Which reminds us, the Gemara inferred from the Mishnah statement, Hanodamina mazum muti b'maim u'b'melech, one who vowed to abstain from sustenance is permitted to drink water and have salt, that specifically only water and salt are not called sustenance, but all other foods are called sustenance. This seems to refute the opinions of Rabban Shmuel, who both said, Ein mevarchem borei minei mezonos elo chameshos haminim bilvad. We may only make the bracha, who creates types of sustenance, on the five types of grains. Rav Huna said that there's no refutation, because the Mishnah is referring to someone who vowed and said, Kol hazon alai, anything that satisfies is prohibited to me. Water and salt do not satisfy, but all other foods do satisfy. Rashi explains that the term mazon, on the other hand, implies something that sustains the heart and satisfies hunger, which is something only the five grains do. This distinction is evident in an incident with Rabbi Yochanan, who ate large amounts of the very sweet Peros Ginnesar, and although he felt satisfied, he expressed that he did not feel sustained. So the Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Eruv, which reminds the Gemara brings two versions of what Beis Shammai holds regarding an Eruv. It was taught in a brayso that Beis Shammai holds, Ein ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin l'yisrael b'truma. We may not make an Eruv for a nazir with wine or for a Yisrael with truma. When Beis Hillel challenged Beis Shammai, the just as Beis Shammai agree that one may make an Eruv for an adult Eruv Yom Kippur, even though the adult cannot eat the food on Yom Kippur, since the food may be eaten by children, so too one should be allowed to make an Eruv for a nazir with wine or for Yisrael with truma. Beis Shammai responded that in the case of Yom Kippur, the Eruv is a meal that was suitable for the person to eat while it's still day, whereas in the case of the nazir, the Eruv of wine was not suitable to him, Erev Shabbos. According to Hananya, Beis Shammai would only consider an Eruv valid ad sheyotzei mitasbo kol klei tashmisho l'sham, if one took out his bed and all of his utensils, which he'll need for Shabbos, to the place of the Eruv. So the Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Eruv, along with two meals measured according to each kid. Which reminds, the Gemara seeks to determine whose opinion a Mishnah follows that states, Yesha amru akol afi mashu adam. There are incidents where they said that the measurement is determined according to each individual, and no uniform measure was established, such as the kmitza from a mincha, the handful of ketores on Yom Kippurim, one who drinks a mouthful on Yom Kippur, and food for two meals for an Eruv. Rabbi Zera said at Simchus, who said, "My dechazile be inan. It must be fit for the individual involved." All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Sechus, Brachas, and Shabbos. Number 1. Which stuff that went to the Brach for hops is Berei Pri Adama and green grains is a Shal Kol? That's on Duff. Chav Ches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff that went to a child cannot be a Shalich for an Erev Tchumim since he can't acquire the place as a residence? That's on Duff. Lamedov. Good. Number 3. Which stuff that went to Malchok is whether birds can be purchased with Maisusheni monies? That's on Duff. Chav Ches. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you learn that only the five grains both satisfy hunger and provide one with strength and sustenance? That's on Duff. Lamed. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you learn the Rabbanan hold that one cannot use a grave for the place for an Erev since it's forbidden to make a dwelling with his Surah Hanod? That's on Duff. Lamedov, good. Number six, which Duffy when one can combine many foods to equal the amount of two meals to make the Erev? That's on Duff. Chavtes, good. Number seven, which Duff do we have two opinions what Beis Shammai holds regarding an Erev, one being that the person must bring his bed and utensils to the place? That's on Duff. Lamed, good. Number eight, which Duff do we learn that there's no standard measure for kamitza, chafina, drinking on Yom Kippur, and for the two meals we're making the Erev? That's on Duff. Lamed, good. Number nine, which Duff do we learn that one can make an Erev with five peaches but needs a kav if they're using apples? That's on Duff. Chavtes. Good. And finally, question number 10. Which of the women that a Levi who takes Meiser Rishon from the ears of grain only has to give Trumas Meiser and not Truma Gedola? That's on Duff. Lamedov. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which of the we have a question if the dead are aware of what's happening in Olam Hazeh? That's on Duff. Yudches and Brachas. Good. Number two. Which of the women that the dead are aware of what's being said to them until the casket closes or Nisakol Abasser? That's on Duff. Kufnum Beis and Shabbos. Good. And number three, which Duff do we learn the virtue of Hachnasas Orchim? That's on Duff. Kuf Chav Zayin and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldberg from Zichu. Wishing you a great day and great learning.